This young man, God help him tonight. Appreciate you.
Well, amen. Let me say, it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I appreciate the opportunity it is to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to come. Thank you, church. My name is Christopher Shoemate. My wife, Miss Ruth, we've been married August 3rd. We'll be married 5 months. So you continue to pray for us as we serve the Lord. The Lord's called us to the Rock of Ages, to the prison ministry. I'm sure you're no stranger to Rock of Ages. I think y'all support some Rock of Ages missionaries. But the Lord's called us, especially to the field of juveniles. If there's ever been a time we need to reach young people, it's now. And we can see how the devil's working in our nation. He's after our children. He's after your grandchildren. And there's nothing more the devil would love to come and snatch your youngin, snatch your grandchildren, and drag them off to hell. We can see how the battle's going on. And I'll give you a verse of scripture, then I'll go ahead and preach. But this is what the Lord gave me concerning Rock of Ages and kind of our nation, the situation that we're in. The Bible says in Judges chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The Lord showed me that verse and said, that is exactly what we have in our nation. We got a generation that's going forth. I think of great men of God that's died in the last 2-3 years. I think of Brother Sammy Allen, my wife's pastor. She used to go down there. And I think of him passing away. I think of Stennett Ballew and Billy Goolsby. And, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Of great men of God that's been checking out, and their mantles being left down. And you know, the devil's not after the older generation. Now, don't get me wrong. The devil would love for you to ruin your testimony and cause you to fall into sin and cause you to kind of question God. But he's not really after the older generation. You see, through the process of life, that older generation is going to die and go on to their eternal reward. You see, that's not the battlefield. The battlefield is on the other end of the spectrum. He's after the young people, and we can see that today. And the problem is, there's a lot of children, they know not anything about the house of God. They know nothing about the man of God. They know nothing about the word of God. They're completely blind to the things that we're accustomed with. We go into these prisons and these juvenile facilities, and we preach Christ in them. I believe Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. And we're not telling about how good Chris is, because I'll be honest with you, there's nothing good in me. But I thank God the only thing good about me is Christ. The only thing good living in me is Christ. That's the only hope I have. It's Christ. And a lot of times these kids, they know nothing about the Word of God. And you think that it's over in Africa, or maybe it's over in Asia or somewhere over there. But I'm talking about right here in our backyard, kids that don't even know John 3:16. Start quoting the verse, they just look at you. Talk about David and Goliath. I mean, even children, the youngest a child knows what David and Goliath is. They just look at you. I don't know. I've never heard about that. But can I tell you, those same children, they know how many points LeBron James scored last night. They know who won the ball game. They know how many home runs were hit. They know all that. But yet they don't even know the common basics of the Bible. I tell you, I believe we let down the ball. We forgot to pass down that generation. I believe the Bible talks about those young generations. They'll come by and say, what mean ye these stones? That older generation will say, the Lord led us and provided and guided us and protected us. It kind of looks back on previous years about how God met the need and delivered them. And I mean, that kind of encourages younger people to say, hey, if God did it for them, God will do it for me. If God did it for them, He'll do it for me. And that's exactly what we have in our nation. But you see, these young people, they don't have mom and daddy to love them and take them to church. They don't have a good pastor like y'all do. They don't have a good church. And a lot of times these families, we've been down to Florida and we've heard it and seen it that some of the parents will take their kids in the inner city and just drop them off and leave them. I tell you, kids don't need to be experiencing that. I tell you, if they can't trust their parents to raise them and provide for them, who can they trust? A lot of times they don't have nobody, so they get involved in gangs and affiliates through that, and they do drugs and try to just make a living. And these gangs and the world and the devil will welcome the young people, saying, hey, we'll provide for you, we'll shelter you, we'll be your friend, and we'll love you and accept. And they don't have nobody else, so they turn to the things of the world. And can I tell you, they'll get caught up and they'll get, you know, they'll throw the book at them. And I believe you do the crime, you do the time. But you know what? They still have a soul that will die and go to hell if they don't hear the gospel. A lot of people look at these kids and say they ain't going to amount to anything. They come from broken homes. They don't have a good reputation. They got all these problems. But you know what? They still have a soul that Christ died for. And I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell, do you? And that's what the Lord's called us to do. Go and preach Christ to these young people. Let me tell you how I've seen the Lord move a couple of years ago. And I believe each time, just like I mentioned, those stones, how we can look back and how the God moved. And I believe we have those stones in our ministry, whether if you're a pastor or a missionary or just a layman. When God met a need or God did something for you, you can look back to it and get encouraged. And you can see the strong hand of God move, and it just gives you encouragement to go on. And I want to share experience with that, and I'll go on and preach. But we was down in Florida a couple of years ago, and we was preaching to the juvenile team. We're part of the juvenile revival team. There are only three missionaries with Rock of Ages that's going into the juveniles to preach. There are only three of us. So you pray for us. We've got this whole nation to reach. And, there are only three of us. So you help us pray. We're on deputation. We started, this is our second year. So you help us pray about that. But we was down in Florida preaching to the young people, and they brought all the kids in. And this was a juvenile facility, a maximum security facility. Whenever I tell you that, it's not kids that maybe stole candy from the candy store. They didn't cheat on a math or science test. They didn't do small things like that. I'm talking about kids as young as 12 and 13 years old that killed their parents in their sleep. I'm talking about drowning their siblings in a bathtub. I'm talking about kids as young as 13, 14, 15 years old being charged with murder and armed robbery and all these grand theft auto. I mean, the list goes on and on at such a young age. Kids doing these things. They filled up the place, and I was preaching about the love of God. I'll never forget, there's a young black boy three rows from the front on the left-hand side. I was trying to preach about the love of God, and he was cussing me. He'd cuss the Bible. He'd cuss God. He'd throw his head back and just laugh and grin ear to ear. Never seen anything like it before, Pastor. He was just cussing. I just kept on preaching, tried to preach through it. I'll never forget what he done, church. That little boy pretended to pull a gun out of his pocket. He pointed his finger at me. He followed me with that finger. He pretended to shoot while I was preaching the Word of God. I tell you, church, if he had a real gun, you know what he would have done? He would have used it. I tell you, the Holy Ghost just unplugged me. I said, I just wanted to let y'all young men know something. I love you. I said, but more importantly, I said, there's a God in heaven who loves you and cares for you. I'd really appreciate it if you just listen. Pastor, the Holy Ghost just plugged me right back in. I just kept on preaching. Amen. Talking about no greater love than this, the man to lay down his life for his friends. Talking about the Holy Ghost and talking about Calvary and talking about God, how he gave his son. I tell you, that little boy, he stopped falling with that finger. He started falling with them eyes. Everywhere I went, he wouldn't take his eyes off of me. I tell you, church, the Holy Ghost got on his trail. And just like you peel back an onion layer by layer, the Holy Ghost got a hold of that man's heart. I tell you, he just peeled him back layer by layer. Yeah. He started breaking that little boy's heart. Tears started running down his eyes. Amen. He dropped his head, tears dropping off his chin. I turned it over to another preacher, Brother Key, and he gave the altar call. You know who the first one to come to the altar was? That young black boy that was cussing me and cussing God. He came forward and got born again, wiping tears, slinging snot. I felt my back on the corner of the wall and kind of got out of the way and let the Lord do his work. And he got up and came up to me. And I don't know about you, but if a man was cussing you, pretending to shoot, you'd be worried. But I knew something was different. He done took a trip toward Calvary. I tell you, Calvary solves it all. He came up to me, stuck his hand out, shook my hand. He said, I'm sorry, preacher. Would you forgive me? He said, I don't know why I was doing what I was doing. Would you forgive me? I'm sorry. Church, he repeated himself over and over. I said, son, I forgive you. I know why you was doing it. He looked at me. I said, you was lost. The Bible said the God of this world blinded your eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine. He didn't know any better. He was doing what sinners do. He was just sinning. I tell you, why should we expect anything different out of sinners? I tell you, they sin. That's what sinners do. I'll never forget the change. I know the Bible says 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I know what the Bible says, and I believe it. I've experienced it. Can I tell you, that day I saw it. I know you can experience that, but I saw it. And it was in that young black boy. I tell you, he walked in. I mean, he was full of hate and anger and hell. I mean, he didn't have no joy, but he left with the joy of the Lord. Yes. He came in on his way to hell. He left on his way to heaven. Amen. He came in hating everybody. He left loving everybody. Amen. He came in with no hope. He left with the blessed hope. Amen. I tell you, it was a sudden change in that young boy's life. And I believe that's what Christ will do. You don't have to do a 12-step program. You don't have to go through this or that. Amen. It's just a one step toward Calvary. Amen. You know what? God will do the rest. And I tell you, that's what the Lord's called us to do, to go into these prisons and preach. We're not going in comfort people on the way to hell. We're not going in telling them to just keep trying, put one foot in the front of the other, and everything will end up fine. And just give God, keep on trying, it's going to be good. And it sounds good, but I don't find that in the Scripture. But I do find what the Bible says, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. I still believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you die lost, you'll end up in hell. And that's what the Lord's called us to do, to go preach. And I just appreciate if you just pray to see how you might be able to get involved to try to help us reach our goal, to help us reach the young people of our nation. And like I said, the devil wants to try to divide our nation, either Republican against Democrat, or white against black, or rich against poor, or vaccines and non-vaccines. But I believe we could draw our line somewhere, and I don't believe it's any of the news or what they portray, but I believe it's holiness against unholiness. I believe it's God against the devil. I believe it's good against evil. It's light against dark. I believe that's where we can draw the line. And I'm glad I know what side I'm on. I'm on the blood-bought, washed crowd, and I cast my lot with them. I know whom I believe, and I know who I trust. I trust in Him. But it's good to be here. I feel good in here. Feel like I'm at home. But if you turn in your Bible, turn to John chapter 6. I'll give you something to think and I'll get out of the way. But if you again, I appreciate the prayers as we continue deputation. I appreciate it. And just pray for me and my wife. We actually just got back. I believe it was yesterday. We just got back from Colorado. We was out there on deputation and have some meetings out in Colorado, Nebraska, then Tulsa, Oklahoma, Memphis, Tennessee. So we had a little loop and we came back. And appreciate the Lord keeping us safe. We got a service tomorrow on the East Coast. And then we'll be in prison Friday. Following going down to South Carolina Saturday. Then we'll be back in prison preaching outside through an FM transmitter Tuesday. So you keep us in prayer. But John chapter 6, when you find your place, please stand and we'll honor the reading of God's Word. Now this is about a two-hour message, so I'm going to preach fast, you listen fast, and we'll go to the house, all right? But John chapter 6, verse number 9. I'll just read one verse of Scripture for the sake of time. The Bible says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" I'll read one more for the sake of time. Verse 9 says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" With God's help, I want to preach for a little while tonight on giving God your all. Giving God your all. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to you once again, Lord. Thank you for all of your blessings, Lord. Thank you for letting us come to your house once again. Lord, thank you for this good godly church and this pastor, Lord. Thank you for the people. Lord, thank you for the singers, Lord, the piano players. Lord, thank you for everything that's been said and done. Lord, we can leave and say it's been good to be in your house. Lord, thank you for being the faithful God. Lord, thank you for being the loving God, the providing God. Lord, thank you for all the things that will accompany salvation. And God, I pray, Lord, just help me, Lord, as no man, Lord, as a man knows, stands alone. God, I pray, Lord, I need your help. Lord, if I will rely on the arm of my flesh, Lord, I'll fail. But God, I need your touch. I need your anointing. Lord, that anointing that only comes from you. Lord, would you touch my lips of clay? Lord, speak through me tonight. Lord, if I'm usable, would you use me for one more time, Lord, to be a blessing and encouragement to your people? And God, I pray, Lord, you forgive me my sin, empty me myself, and fill me with your Spirit. Lord, one more time tonight, Lord, we'll give you all our glory. Lord, it's not about us. As John the Baptist said, Lord, we must decrease, but you must increase. Lord, I pray, Lord, you have free, Lord, reign over everything that's said and done. Lord, if there's any that's lost, save them. If there's any that's backslidden, God, I pray, draw them back into the fold. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing, church. You can be seated tonight. So I began thinking about this passage of Scripture, and the Lord's kind of given me liberty to preach this message a couple times, and it's been heavy on my heart, and I believe that each time I preach it, it comes out a little bit different, and I'm glad that's how the Word of God is. It's alive and real, and there's nothing boring about the Word of God. You'll hear one thing preach, and another man preach it, and he'll take it and turn it into something else, and that's what the power of what the Word of God is. I'm glad you'll never go to the end of the Word of God. It's always fresh and new, and the Spirit breathes on it. But I want to give you a couple things about this passage of Scripture, and I'll cut out all the introduction, I'll cut out all the stuff, and I'll just give you the points and the meat of the message, and I'll get out of the way. But here in verse number 9, we see a problem, a predicament that these disciples and the people were in. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 21 that getting ready to feed 5,000 men besides women and children. So I don't know exactly how large this great multitude is, but we do know there are at least 5,000 men. We know there's some women and children. We know there's a little lad. We know there's disciples. And we know there's Jesus there. And let me give you a couple things. I'll just give it for the way of introduction. There's going into a dry place. There's going into a dark place. There's going into a dusty place. And it's getting ready to get dark. The Bible says it was evening. And we can see they're getting ready to get a blessing from a little lad. But here the Lord started asking questions. He's asking the disciples, "What are we going to do for food?" One of the disciples said, "Well, Lord, we got 200 penny worth." He said, "That's not sufficient for everyone to get a little piece." Basically, that he was saying, we don't have enough money. Well, aren't you glad whenever we can't, God still can? Amen. Aren't you glad whenever we're limited, God's not limited? Amen. I believe that God's all sufficient. Amen. He can meet every one of our needs and still have room to meet some more. Aren't you glad we're never going to expend the grace of God, the mercy of God? We're never going to get to the end of it. We're never going to meet. Pray for God. God says, I don't know if I can meet that need or not. That's just too great for me to meet. I'm glad we serve a God that can meet all needs and He can do all things. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for God. He can meet all our needs. But He said, Lord, we can't feed all them. We don't have enough money. Then another disciple came up and said, Lord, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But then here comes the criticism. But what are they among so many? Basically, he says, Lord, we got a little, but that's not enough. Aren't you glad whenever it's just a little bit, God can still take a little and do a lot? I'm glad He can take a little and do a lot. He's the God of the little things. I don't care what it is. God can still do great things with little things. But let me give you a couple of things and I'll be done. First tonight, I see the Bible says there's a lad here. I don't know about you, but the Bible doesn't give his name. The Bible doesn't give his age, but it does say that he is a lad. That tells me that he wasn't referred to as one of the 5,000 men. He's a boy. He's an adolescent. He's a child in this story. The Lord's getting ready to use this little boy in a great mighty way and use what he has. I just want to go on record tonight and say, I thank God God can use young people. You don't have to be old to serve God. You can serve God in your youth. The Bible teaches to sell out. Give God everything at a young age. Why? Because this is a time you need to make decisions that will last and impact your entire life. We go into the prisons and preach to these young people, and a lot of times, Pastor, we hear children say that I'll serve God when I get older. I'll do what I want right now, and whenever I get married, whenever I go to college, whenever I get out, I'll purpose in my heart to serve God then. But can I tell you, a lot of times that don't happen. A lot of times they'll continue down the wrong path. They'll waste their years or scar up their life. They'll get shacked up in sin, and they'll never break those things unless the good grace of God comes by and unshackle them from the life of sin. God, I tell you, young people, the best thing you can do tonight is purpose in your heart not to divide yourself, purpose in your heart not to get involved in sin. Sell out, leave a crucified life, leave a sanctified life, leave a consecrated life. Give God your all, give God your youthful years, and let God use you in a mighty way. People say God can't use young people. I say, I read in the Bible where God used a lot of young people. He used a little lad to meet 5,000 people's needs that day. I believe even in the Bible, whenever he was getting ready to send the horn of Samuel down there to anoint the next king, you know who we find him anointing? We'll find him anointing the youngest. I believe it was David, the youngest. I believe whenever Samuel went down there to anoint the next king, I believe Shema walked by and he probably said, man, he's the strongest. God whispered to Samuel, said, that's not my king. I believe another one of his brothers walked by and said, man, He's the brightest. God said, that ain't my king. Another walked by and he said, this has to be him. He said, that ain't him. I believe one by one walked by and Samuel said, this has to be him. And God whispered and said, no, that ain't my king. Finally, he went over to Jesse and said, Jesse, you got any more boys? Jesse said, I got a little ruddy boy. He's down there watching my sheep. He said, go fetch him. And I believe as soon as he came up from the top of the hill and Samuel spotted him, I believe he said, that's the king. And you know what God whispered and told Samuel? The Bible says that God whispered and told Samuel, he said, man, look what on outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God sees the inside. And you know what? I believe as soon as Samuel saw David, I believe God looked over the balconies of heaven and said, that's my king. I'm going to use him in a mighty way. And even David's own father, Jesse looked at David and said, he's just a ruddy boy. He's not going to amount to anything. You go watch my sheep. And God's going to use one of your brothers to be king. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that said, I'm not going to use any of the biggest or the brightest or the smartest. I'm going to use this little ruddy boy over here to be the king. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I believe you do. Whenever Christ comes to rule and reign, he's not going to sit and rule and reign from Saul's throne. You know whose throne he's going to come and rule from? He's going to come and sit down upon the throne of David. He's a root and offspring of David. And I don't find anything about Saul, the man who stood ahead over everybody else, but I do find where we mention a lot about David. Why? Because God can use young people. Children, sell out to God. Listen to your mom and daddy. Listen to your pastor. Give God your all. Why? Because God wants to use you. The only question is, will you let Him? First tonight, God uses young people. I got 2 more and I'll be done. God uses young people. Next, I see in verse number 9 what He had. What did the little lad had? Let's see what he had. The Bible said he had 5 barley loaves. Can I tell you, I did a little study on barley. What is barley? Barley's not wheat. Did you know that? Did you know wheat was more expensive? Wheat was luxurious. Wheat was costly. Wheat was priceless during this time. Wheat's something the rich people, the high-ups, that's what they feasted on. They had wheat bread. But barley, it was just common grain. Did you know you could get twice as much wheat as you could, twice as much barley as you could wheat? Did you know the Bible talks about it as being, during this time, as being known as stable food? It was common food that you gave your livestock. It's just common bread, common grain. That's all that little boy had, was just common bread. I'm glad God took something so common. and did something so great. You say, preacher, what are you going to go out with this? Can I tell you, I'm just a common man. I don't have a doctorate degree. I don't have much money. There's nothing good about me. I'm just common. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven can take something so common and do a great work with common things. I tell you, I believe there's hope for any of us to be used of God. Why? Because God's looking for the simple things. I believe the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound those things which are wise. God's chosen the weak things of this world to confound those things which are mighty. God's going after the little things. God's going after the small things. God's going after the weak and the unwise. God's going after those things the world wouldn't have anything to do with. Why? So it's all said and done. He can get all honor and glory out of it all. And can I tell you, God's looking for you today. If you're common, God can use you. I'm glad God can use the poor and God can use the rich, but God's looking most common for the common things of life. Here this boy is barley. Who do we find the Lord calling to be His disciples? Just common men. Just a bunch of fishermen. I don't find Him calling many wise and noble men, but you know who we find? He's using common people. And I don't know about you, but God uses common things today. Let me give you one more and I'll be done. What else did He have? He had two small fishes. I believe this is the Word of God, and I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God for the English-speaking people. And I don't believe there any information in this Bible just there to take up space. I believe every word, every jot, everything in this Bible is there put by God. You can't correct it. It's perfect. The Bible says two small fishes. It could have just said two fishes, but the Bible says two small fishes. Preacher, why do you think that? To show that God can use small things. He used two small fishes to feed 5,000. I'm glad God uses small things. I believe we used to sing a song, little's much when God's in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. He took something small and did something so great. I tell you, you might be here tonight, you might be small and insufficient in the world's eyes, not amount to anything, but I'm glad there's a God in heaven who can take common things and small things and a great mighty work can come forth. You see, that little boy took that lunch, and if you read Matthew chapter 14 with John chapter 6, you'll see the whole story. Can I tell you, scriptures don't contradict, they complement. Jesus didn't go over there and take that lunch away from that boy and said, I need that. The disciples didn't go over that little boy and said, give me that. Jesus needs it. But you know what I do find? I find over there, Jesus said, bring it hither. He said, son, bring me what you got. I tell you, that's what the Lord will do to us tonight. I don't know what's in your lunch. I don't know what you're carrying around in your bag. I don't know what talents, what opportunities, how you can serve God. But I do know that if you're common, whatever you got, God can use. You say, preacher, I'm just not much of a personality. I can't talk. I can't public speak. I can't play the piano. I can't sing. Can I tell you, you can pass out tracts. You can brag on God. You can give your testimony. There are things you can do. And the Lord can use if you're willing to bring it to Him. That little boy, I'll give you this and I'll be done for closing. He had something little, common, small fishes. I don't care if it's just a little oil in a cruise, a little bit of meal in a barrel. God can do it. I don't care if it's just a small cloud of the shape of man's hand. It can bring forth an abundance of rain. I don't care what it is. Something small, great things can happen. I tell you, that little boy had five barley loaves, two small fishes. What's 5 plus 2? 7. What is 7 in biblical numerology? It's completion. A completed work was done that day because he gave God everything he had. I don't know about you, but if it's in this generation, how many people are selfish and self-centered, and God could have said, bring me that. He would say, okay, Lord, but I'm going to keep one fish for myself because I'm hungry. I'm going to keep one piece of bread and I'll give you everything else. Or maybe even, God, I'll give it all, but make sure I'm first in line to eat. Make sure I get the first portion. Make sure I get the biggest. I don't see where that little boy did any of that.
Right.
He went over there and gave God all. I tell you, if he kept one thing back, 7 minus 1 is 6. 6 is the number of man. 6 is incomplete. No, a completed work would not have been done had he not given God everything. And I believe churches are full tonight. Christians, they're walking around with a fish in their pocket. They're walking around with a piece of loaf of bread in their pocket. They haven't truly given God all. I don't want to ask you tonight at the closing, have you given God your all? Well, preacher, I trust God with this, but I just don't know if I can trust Him with that. I just don't know about my family. I can trust Him with this, but my family, I can raise them. Have you given God your all? What burdens are you carrying around that you need to give over to the Lord? What talents do you have that you've not given over to Him? Have you given God your all? If not, it'd be a good night to find your place in an offering and say, Lord, I surrender all. I give you everything. I trust you with everything. The Bible says, for you walk by what? Faith and not by sight. The Bible says, for the just shall live by what? By faith. What is faith? The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So many times people say, I want to see it, and then I'll trust you, God. And God says, no, you trust me, and then I'll show you. The Bible says without faith,
it's impossible to please Him. It doesn't say it's hard to please Him. The Bible says it's impossible to please the Lord without having faith. Let me ask you this. Have you given God your all? If not, tonight would be a good night to surrender all and say, Lord, I trust You with my life. I trust You with my friends. I trust You with my finances. I trust You with my family. And I'm giving You everything. Lord, would You lead and guide and provide for me, for You to get honor and glory. That little boy, let me give you another message. 3 points and I'm done. That little boy, he gave to the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord took his offering. The Lord took what he had. He blessed it. He broke it. And blessings came forth out of his obedience. The Lord said, bring it here. And that boy obeyed. He gave it to the Lord. He blessed it. He broke it. Blessings came forth because of his obedience. He gave. The Lord took it and gave back. 5,000 men and women got fed that day. And you know what happened? I believe Jesus said, go get the remainder, that nothing be lost. And he had 12 baskets. And I just believe this. I believe God gave them, that little boy, all 12 of them baskets. Because you can't outgive God. You'll never outgive God. I believe each one of those disciples went and got those baskets. And that little boy said, Jesus, I know we had one little lunch, but now we got all those baskets. What are they for? He said, those are yours. Why? Because I believe that's the God we serve. You give God a little, He'll turn around and give you a lot. It's time and time again. You give with a spoon, God will give back with a shovel. You ain't going to outgive God. That's the way God operates. And I'm glad we serve a God like that tonight.